was on the bill like 2 months later instead of the next month.
The way I thought about the offset amount set by resolution is that if we knew this schedule, SEPA, for instance, takes us offline and we have to go on diesel, I always thought that we would set the offset amount by resolution, and then that rate, that percentage, would be maintained for maybe the next diesel run, maybe the next one, until we reset it by resolution. So I got the impression that we could establish it, directly after that first diesel run, and it may be the same amount throughout the whole year. We may have no desire to raise it or lower it or...
I actually envisioned that we would do an offset resolution after each diesel run, because the costs are going to be, you want to set the offset based on what the actual costs of the diesel run are. Diesel fuel that's used, if we only do a week of diesel run, and we only have a week, a limited amount of overtime and a limited amount of diesel and other costs, the assembly may decide that they want to offset the entire amount. But let's say we have an emergency run like we did this February and March, and it's, $500,000. The assembly may say, okay, our offset amount is only going to be 5 cents a kilowatt hour instead of the full 10 cents. So that, in my mind, that's why I was envisioning a resolution set after each diesel run period.
Okay. And the way this is written, there will never be a zero offset. There always has to be an amount. The way this is written, so that it'll never be...
No, it says the assembly shall approve any offset amount by resolution. You are not obligated to set an offset amount.
Except in Section A, it says that it's established to create... I think in Section A, it mandates that there never be a zero offset.
But that's the rate stabilization fund, not the offset.
Let's see where you see it.
Okay, on the offset amount, the any, actually, that's one of my corrections. I have three corrections I want to make. I want that any to be the. I'm sorry, under Section D, the first sentence, the assembly shall approve the offset amount, which means that it will never be a zero offset. It'll always be a certain amount. Because the whole idea of the rate stabilization, it's incorporated, the offset amount is incorporated.
What if we run out of money?
Exactly.
Well, then it can be 1 cent, or I envision it as being a percentage of the actual cost. That the ratepayer will pay 92% of actual cost is how I envision it.
That would be very difficult to do on the billing. The offset will need to be
A dollar amount,
a change amount, exactly, per kilowatt hour. Yeah.
Well, somewhere here,
Madam Mayor,
Assembly Member Powell?
You can't say that it's going to be something all the time. Because if we had an emergency run and ran out of money, you're not going to offset it at all. Otherwise, you're going to start taking out of our fund to offset. And that's not what this is designed to do.
Okay. All right, so we'll leave any in there.
Madam Mayor, you do have a comment from a staff member if you'd like to recognize.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When I first read this, I thought it was for emergency diesel runs. This includes the annual maintenance runs as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when you read the code, it says any diesel run.
Yeah, I just rereading it.
All right, well, I'll have to look at that to see why I was thinking that it had to be a definite offset amount. There's something that I read, but I may have misread it. But here's my other problems with this. In Section A, it's a light department. It's actually called Light and Power Department.
I actually looked in the section, and it is referred to as the Light Department in the existing ordinance. I looked specifically because you emailed that to me.
I know.
And if you would like us to, we can change it in the entire section, but it's in the actual.
Well, when I looked up the code, it said electrical, but I just think light department is an old-fashioned term.
Well, and it's a misnomer because it's power.
Right. So, assembly members, can we change it to light and power or electrical?
We absolutely.
Okay.
What do you have a preference? Do you want to change it to electrical department?
I would prefer electrical.
I have a question.
Madam Assembly Member Morrison.
Is this rate stabilization fund going to be invested?
Yes. Along with everything else we're working on here shortly.
All right. And then my other correction. So A is corrected. Okay. On Section B, it says that the funds will come from the utility reserve fund. I would like to have that say the electrical utility reserve fund. We have several utilities.
Correct, but the electric reserve fund is specifically referred to as the utility reserve fund, where the others are the water reserve and the sewer reserve. So we can,
okay.
We'll clarify. Just know that there may need to be some other ordinances to change names so that we are consistent throughout the code.
We clearly are not consistent, but
no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Have we assembly member DeBoard?
So I'm gonna throw this in another gear. And I apologize. I like the idea of this, but I don't like the implementation. I have concern with basically taking $250,000 out of the utility reserve fund and essentially redistributing it within the town to everybody. And my second concern is that we'll hear from multiple people who are here all summer that pay into this fund and then they're gone during the winter when the majority of these diesel runs take place. And they'll have a legitimate complaint that they paid into this at a significant disadvantage to when the diesel runs are actually utilized. I understand the concept is to try to keep people from getting hit with a significant bill at one particular time. However, to me, the most fair implementation is that you get hit with that significant bill at that particular point in time. I understand the premise of this, but I just am concerned about its implementation.
That's a fair analysis.
Sorry.
Madam Mayor.
Assembly Member.
I do think it's possible. I mean, given lake levels now, it's not unreasonable that there could be, even this year, or I mean, we've been told likely not this year, but if we continue to see a handful of years with dry weather, it's possible there could be a diesel run in the summer.
Possible, but then at that particular point in time, you're subsidizing a few particular heavy users who are going to drain the fund pretty quickly. So that's the converse side of that as
right,
well.
Right.
So I understand where this came from, but that's just, I have concerns on both ends of that as well. And especially trying to get the generators here, I'd like to kind of reserve the $250,000 for anything that might come up with that.
Assemblymember Decker.
Can I ask a question of staff? When do we usually do the maintenance run? Isn't it in early June?
Late May, early June, and then sometimes it was in September 1 year as well.
So, but typically summer?
Typically May, June. Yeah, that's correct.
But for just 1 week compared to the 6 that we previously had. So, and true, it could be, but it's hard to predict. I mean, it's unpredictable. It's literally unpredictable. And that's my concern, is we're trying to predict something that's unpredictable. But I like the idea. It's just, I don't think that it's going to be very good in implementation. There's just too many unknowns.
So, Assembly Member Decker.
I really don't share that concern. I think you're taking the money from the ratepayers and using it to help the ratepayers. I mean, you can't track every penny to every homeowner user necessarily, but I think it's pretty fair. I did have one question about the potential offset if you're 2 months later and starting to collect it. Like, for instance, if, and this might be an odd situation, but if the month of August you had a diesel run and you had our major users use a lot of power, and then we set the offset beginning in October, and those users aren't here, and then we're paying that back, it's very unlikely to happen, but I don't know. And I don't know if there's a fix to that.
What you're saying is it's too long a time afterwards for that to show up on the bill. And 2 months is too long a time.
You start to get a little bit separated from the users that use that power.
The offset amount will be for the time frame. What? So it's not as if we're doing the offset on their October bill. If the extra cost of the diesel run is $100,000 for everything, we have to offset that $100,000 either by charging the ratepayers or by charging or by using money from the rate stabilization fund. So if the assembly decides they want to offset by $50,000, and we calculate what that means in terms of per kilowatt hour charge, then the charge, extra $50,000, and the offset amount gets applied to the October bill for what the actual cost of the diesel run was. So nobody's gonna get eliminated from the benefit or the charge. Right.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And will you two more things? Will you check with the attorney about the offset amount, and if I'm totally bonkers that we have to establish something other than nothing? And then also, Assembly, how are we going to handle the July 31 date? We're not going to be able to set the rate stabilization surcharge.
So if you see what I added to the language there, except for the first year in which the rate stabilization surcharge is created, annually, on or before July 31st, the Assembly shall, by resolution, determine the per kilowatt hour surcharge. Because I realized when I was doing the language change, we obviously weren't going to get it done by July 31st this year.
Okay. So we'll put that in and go for a third reading.
Yes.
With that inserted. Well,
maybe that is in there. It's in Section E right now.
That's how it reads right now.
Okay.
But it sounds like the changes are substantial, so it's going to have to be a fourth reading. Which
okay.
is fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
Totally fine.
We want to get it right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I missed one of the... So I made the note to check with the attorney on a mandatory offset amount. And then I think I'm missing a note here on something else we're supposed to be doing.
On
the limit on it?
No, I have the cap information. I cannot get my screen to work. Holy cow.
the light department, that change is no-brainer.
I have the electric department versus light department. I have the reserve fund versus electric reserve fund in terms of names.
What else?
We dropped the other one, I think, is what you're thinking.
Maybe.
The last sentence.
Maybe I have everything.
Yeah, I thought we left that in.
I think we did leave that in.
Yeah, we left that in. Yeah. All right. Do you have direction?
We have to have you guys vote, actually.
All right. Do we say with the changes discussed?
No, because the motion was with amendments.
Okay.
So it's fine because it's going to go to our next reading. Just like this one, come back with all the changes, and then you can vote on that or send it to an additional reading if you want.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay. Item 13A, approval of limited access agreement with Dan and Twyla Knorr for a portion of Lot 6A, Dan Knorr subdivision.
Move to approve limited access agreement with Dan and Twyla Knorr for a portion of Lot 6A, Dan Knorr subdivision.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. Second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell, Decker?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And
yes. Item 13B, approval to disperse funds to the Wrangell Mariners Memorial.
Move to approve dispersal of funds to the Wrangell Mariners Memorial.
Second.
Okay, motion's been seconded. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Approval to 13C, approval to request reimbursement from SEPA for additional diesel run expenses.
Move to approve reimbursement request from SEPA for additional diesel run expenses.
Second.
Second. Borough Manager, would you like to give us some background for the public?
Sure. So just as a reminder, we ended up not getting full reimbursement for the cost of the diesel run from SEPA. What they reimbursed was the cost of actual diesel fuel less the wholesale power rate of 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour. What was not taken into consideration when the original motion for the reimbursement was approved by the board was the fully loaded rate of overtime for the employees. They reimbursed for diesel fuel and the cost of overtime, excuse me, but not the fully loaded rate of overtime. And that additional amount was $6,672. And oil expenditures were $39,877. And so the unreimbursed amount is just over $46,500. So I put this before the assembly as an action item for you to approve this. I have mixed feelings about it. I don't necessarily think this will be received well by the SEPA board. I don't think Petersburg has any intention of asking for the additional money. They also had increased. They did not ask for the fully loaded rate for their employee reimbursement, nor did they ask for oil. And I don't know how Ketchikan would feel about it. So at the last board meeting, they left it open that the individual communities were welcome to come back and ask for this. And that's not a decision I felt like as the representing board member that I could make without assembly approval. So it is here for you guys to discuss. And will myself and the mayor at the next, I will take this forward as a borough employee and request this of SEPA, and then it would come up at the next board meeting if the assembly wants to move forward with this.
Discussion, Assembly Member Decker.
So, is going to ask for it or you're not?
They've made no mention of doing this. I can confirm, but I'm pretty sure they don't have any intention.
And the tone of the group when you said you talked about the last meeting and they said individual communities could bring it forward, was it, what was the tone of that?
So there is... SEPA believes that, and to some degree, rightfully so, that they're managing the water in the reservoirs to the maximum degree possible to get the maximum sales and the maximum revenue to SEPA, which in the long run actually is would normally be of maximum benefit to the communities, because the more sales there are of power, the more money is able to go into major maintenance and capital projects for the infrastructure, for the SEPA infrastructure, which serves all of our communities. And in the last several years, that extra sales out of Taiyi to the south has resulted in massive rebates to the communities. So it is in the best interest of all of the member communities for there to be the greatest amount of sales possible. The flip side of that is, what ended up happening this last year is that the water management, unfortunately, they lost in the game of chicken on water management because the water never showed up. And so what ended up happening, which has never happened before, is that the North End had to go on diesel power. And had that power not been sold, that excess power not been sold south to Ketchikan, there would have been ostensibly enough water in the lake to cover us through the winter. And so there is value on both sides of this, maintaining a healthy reservoir level at a conservative, through conservative methodology to make sure that the firm power requirements of the North End are met. But there's also value in selling the maximum amount of power out of the lake, so that the most revenue is being made. And I think that SEPA has not sold any power out of the lake since September of last year. That has resulted in significant, I'm sorry that I can't remember off the top of my head what the decrease in overall revenue to SEPA is because of the low lake levels, because they're not able to sell power out of Taiyi south. But that is going to result in no dividends back to the individual communities, no rebates back to the communities. And so in addition to, I'm sorry, Assemblymember Powell, I said that you want to speak. In addition to the decreased amount in revenue that SEPA has seen because they're not able to sell power, they also ended up paying more than $800,000 out to Wrangell and Petersburg for the diesel run. And so that's a significant hit to the SEPA budget. And so I think SEPA feels like they have, and I think a number of the board members probably feel like they have trued us up, and trued us up to the detriment of the organization, because not only is the organization taking a hit in sales, but then they had to offset almost $1 million for our diesel. And I think they would take this up and they would talk about it legitimately, but I think possibly it would be seen as us putting salt on a bit of a wound.
Assemblymember Powell.
You know, we've sat here in the last 3 or 4 years and reaped the benefits of these rebates, okay? I honestly don't feel correct to go and to ask them for this $46,000. I mean, we've had $800,000 rebates, $750,000 rebates. They have been very generous with their rebates to us. And now we're going to turn around and tell them we want more money because of what happened. I understand, but every time they did it right, we benefited from it.
That's correct.
The one time they do it wrong, now we're going to, like you said, put more salt on the wound. My personal feeling is I don't want you to do this.
Which is why I'm bringing it back to the assembly for this discussion.
Assemblymember Decker?
I have to agree 100%. This organization is for the communities, and it has worked extremely well, so well, I think many times that the communities take it for granted because they don't realize what a good thing we have compared to a lot of other communities in Alaska. And this has not happened before. This is a weird, we're entering some strange weather patterns, whether they continue or not, this was not normal. And whether it was not managed, you know, I mean, going hindsight, everybody, it's easier to look back. So, short story, I agree with some of the problems.
If I may add to what Assemblymember Decker said too, as a reminder, at the last board meeting in June, the SEPA board set the rate again at 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour for wholesale power. That is unheard of. And not only do we have some of the best electric rates in the state of Alaska, we have some of the best electric rates in the nation here because of the way our power infrastructure is managed here. So, and that 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour rate has not gone up in more than 20 years. As Trey said at our conservation meeting a couple of weeks ago, what else in your life has not increased in 20 years? Zero.
Well, I feel we are SEPA. I know they're a separate organization, but I feel the three communities are SEPA. We need to be aware that this $40,000+ came out of our utility fund.
Correct.
And trying to defend the ratepayers, I'm going to vote for this. I don't think, I'm like you, I don't think SEPA will vote to reimburse us for the true value of the diesel run, our true expenses, which is what we're asking for. But I, as I said at the last assembly meeting, I think we should go on record that what we were reimbursed were not the true expenditures that we incurred. And so they may say no, and that's in their purview, but I think we should at least try to do to recoup the true expenses for our ratepayers' benefit. So I'm going to vote yes on this. Any other discussion? Assemblymember DeLong?
I guess. Thank you, Madam Gilbert. I would like to stay in their good graces, and I just wonder, as Prusunka is a board member, he's not here right now, but I'm interested to know what his feelings are towards this. Can you speak to that?
I can't. I don't know. You know, I know Assemblymember or Mayor Prusunka feels very strongly about the fact that we were ringing the bell here in October of last year about the lake levels and having to, you know, having the potential to go on diesel. And, you know, in the end, us ringing the bell in October, even if we had gone on partial diesels earlier in the year, we would have run the same. You know, if we did 50% diesel for a longer period of time or 100% diesel for the short period of time that we were 75% diesel, whatever it was. But the point that he makes is never prior to the intertie did we ever worry about not having enough water on the north end. You know, can I speak to exactly how he feels about this? I cannot.
Assemblymember Powell?
But also, before the intertie, we were not getting these large rebates either.
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm still going to say I understand, and Mayor Gilbert, I'm going to say I agree with you on how we are SEPA. So we reap the benefits when it's good. It hurts us when we're bad. So, I mean, $800,000 rebates, $700,000 rebates, and now you're going to go back and ask for $46,000. I want to stay in your graces too, and I think that if we're all going to be one entity, like you're saying, and I agree with you, then we have to take a hit every once in a while also. I think that, I can't remember what it was. It was like $2.6 million in rebates up to a certain date that we had got.
Yeah.
And now you want to go back and ask her for $46,000. I have a feeling that's just like a smack. You know, I don't want to do it. That's my personal feelings.
Okay. Assembly Member DeLong?
I want to say thank you. I understand you do wanting to go to bat for the ratepayers, but I think with all the information we have, it's just bigger than us. So maybe you go on record, but I don't know. I think the feeling that, you know, just kind of let it be. That's what I'm leaning towards.
Borough manager?
I did at the last SEPA meeting, as I mentioned. I did specifically, when this item came up, say that we were not reimbursed for the full amount of the diesel run. And that was when they said, if, you know, individual communities, if you would like to come back and ask for additional, you're more than welcome.
Well, I'll just make one more statement. I'm not afraid of hurting SEPA's feelings. SEPA is a corporation, and we're running a business, and we have to be fiscally responsible. So, and SEPA looks out for us, but for their own interest. So, in the interest of looking out for our interest, I'm still voting yes on this. So, do we have any other discussion? Any other comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members DeLong?
No.
Decker?
No.
Powell?
No.
DeBoard?
No.
Morrison?
No.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, 13D. Ordinance number 966 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 3.05.020, Order of Business of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 966 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on August 27th, 2019.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, second. Any question? Borough manager, would you, for the public, like to explain this ordinance?
Actually, I'd like to thank the clerk for putting this all together. But really what this does is it changes the meeting start time for the assembly from 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that allows us to get going earlier in the evening when there is not a work session. On nights when there is a work session preceding the meetings, it will start earlier, and then the meeting will directly follow the work session at 7 o'clock.
Any questions? Assembly Member Decker?
I'm sorry, did you say the work session will start earlier than 6?
No, 6. There are occasions when we may have a work session that requires a 5:30 start time, but as a rule, they will start at 6, and then the meetings will start at 7.
So, for clarification, this will, for most purposes, set our start time at 6 from now on.
Correct.
Any discussion? My only concern is if there is a community event at 6, for instance, a school play or something, and the assembly really wants to secure public participation, there's no mechanism where we could move the assembly meeting back to 7 the way it's written.
So,
do we need that option?
I don't think that it needs to be in the code, but if at the prior assembly meeting, if somebody wants to suggest that, I can publish that. So as long as, if we are going to change the meeting time, and honestly, if somebody were to contact me, you know, before that meeting, a couple weeks before the meeting, and say, oh, you know, I think maybe we should change the date to, or the time to 7, then I could send out a blind copy email to everybody and see if anybody has a problem with that. And if there isn't, then I can publish that the meeting will start at 7. So as long it's as a general rule, it would start at 6. Just like with the public hearing, even though there's the mechanism for that, if there is a public hearing, it'll be published so that the public will know. So if anything differs or is different than what we're putting in code, then it'll be published.
Okay. Is that all right with the assembly? All right. Any other discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay, item 13E, ordinance number 967 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing sections of Chapter 1.20 of the Wrangell Municipal Code in their entirety and establishing a new process for introducing and adopting ordinances and amending Section 1.12.070 resolutions of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 967 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on August 27th, 2019.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, it's been seconded. Discussion.
I'm just, Kim knows what I'm going to say, Assemblymember Gilbert. I would like to go on record as saying what's being done here is amending the code so that it's in line with the charter, but I would like to express my misgivings about the fact that this body has a charter provision that allows a decision to be made by less than a majority of the seated assembly. It allows for a majority of the members present to make a decision, and even though that is in charter, I feel like that could be, and it'll now be in code, I feel like that could easily be dealt with in a court of law, could be challenged legally in a decision where not a majority of the body is making a decision on something, because had there been more members present, potentially a different outcome would have happened if four people would have been required to make a decision. What this allows for, let's say we only have four or five members present at an assembly meeting, what the charter provision and now the code provision will allow for is that a simple majority of three members present at that meeting can make a decision, and I wholeheartedly disagree with that. But it would take a revision of the charter and a vote of the people to change that. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
So we're going to duke it out after the meeting.
Simply, Member Decker.
I don't know if this is on top of priority for anyone, but I mean, is that an issue that we should get advice from an attorney?
I have. So I don't remember. Maybe it was the manager who had asked me last year that a majority of the members present can vote on an item. So I confirmed with the attorney because we are a home rule borough that we are allowed to do that. And it's very clear, very specific that it's a majority of the members present. As long as there's a quorum present. And I think I can't speak legally, but I believe it's because if you have four members present, those four members are hearing the item that's before you, and then you vote, and the majority of those four members present would vote on that. However, if it's something contentious, there is the option to postpone it until there's more members present at the next meeting. But this simply gets us in line with
charter.
Yeah, because it makes no sense right now the way it is. And the part before that with the ordinance, it just clarifies and simplifies how ordinances are introduced and adopted. And if we did want to change that, then it would be, I don't know, I wouldn't be in favor of changing it, because that's one of the reasons we're a home rule borough and we're mm-hmm. allowed to do that. So
she's right, but I don't like it.
I know she doesn't like it.
I thought the same way you did. So any discussion?
As long as we brought it past the attorney, mm-hmm. and that's what he's saying.
It was our previous attorney, but it was Barbara, I think, that worked for mm-hmm. our previous attorney, mm-hmm. and she was very clear in the information she provided to the clerk. So.
I know that there is a difference in what's required between home rule. Mm-hmm. So,
Okay. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13F, proposed ordinance number 968 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing section 15.18.070, collection or disposal fees in its entirety, and establishing a new process for fees in chapter 15.18, garbage, in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 968 and move to second reading with public hearing to be held on August 27, 2019.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Discussion.
Madam Mayor, this is the same as we did previously with parks and rec fees, and we will just be setting these fees by resolution, so there'll be a resolution accompanying the second reading of this ordinance at the next meeting, and we'll outline those new fees.
Okay. And I had a question. In section A, it says that such fees as are set forth in this section. So will the schedule of fees be in this section in the municipal code, or will it be, it'll be by resolution?
I can change that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So what do you propose to change it to? Because it won't be in that section of the code.
So I think it could say,
does everyone see section A?
As set forth by resolution, I would say, instead of in this section.
Okay. All right, that would make it cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would correct it.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Assembly member DeBoard?
On B, can we remove 55 pounds? I'm guessing we don't weigh every single one.
Would the Public Works Director like to weigh in on that?
Raw help, Public Works. I didn't take it out of there. It's kind of an old thing when the guys used to pick the cans up. It just kind of left it in there. I can't remember what the arms are capable of picking up, but it's way more than 55 pounds. So if we want to take it out, we can take it out.
Maybe on a gallon equivalent of how large the can is, or just leave it out entirely?
You can probably take the 55 pounds out entirely if we... They can pick up the full two-yard dumpster, so the can's not going to be an issue.
So we would end that at... residential service shall consist of the removal of refuse substances as defined in this chapter in containers approved by the borough manager or his authorized, her authorized agent.
Or their.
Or their authorized.
Yeah. Once weekly.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Assembly Member DeLong?
I think the full thing should probably stay in there, because when they start to overflow and the birds get out of, I mean, when the, is that a thing? You know, I mean, is full
that,
still open?
That cover, that is theoretically covered in the nuisance section of the code.
Okay, okay.
And that's more due to volume than mass.
Okay.
Yeah, that's defined.
It's actually more due to what's in the garbage can that the birds are after.
Yeah, okay.
Any other questions? Good changes. Yeah. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13G, resolution number 07-19-1474 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the negotiated sale of borough-owned property lot 8, block 53, Wrangell Town Site, for public interest.
Move to approve resolution 07-19-1474, authorizing the sale of borough-owned lot 8, Block 53, Wrangell Town Site for public interest.
Second. Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? Assemblymember Powell.
On the map, on this thing, that whole lot, and my question is, on the map it showed, you know, Alfred Lund, which is Ben, how I know him.
Right.
On the tax rolls. Okay, so my question is, if that was like that, did Ben Lund pave tax rolls on that entire lot?
He did not, no. And Alicia is here to, she can speak to that. She researched the entire.
So my other question is, it says three lots, but in this aerial map, I only see two. Where's the third?
Do you see the little teeny tiny
is that
corner
a lot?
To the right? That's
okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a question for?
No, I mean, that was my question. Okay. If they did pay taxes on it throughout the years, then we have a problem. But if they haven't, then we don't have a problem, I guess.
Other than that, it's an unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Would you come to the microphone, please?
My name is Mary Montoy. I'm the one interested in that piece of property. When I asked the city for proof of documents of whether or not the property taxes were paid, nobody has provided any documents whatsoever to prove that Ben did or did not pay taxes on said property. I'd like to know where the proof is that the property taxes were or were not paid. He's on the tax roll. Every piece of document that I have says all the value of all three lots are based on lot 8. So I'd like to know where the proof is.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Alicia, Madam Mayor. She is the one that did the research on this and can speak to the issue. And obviously we can provide proof of information. I'm sorry if you felt like you didn't get that information. My last understanding was that our attorneys were talking about information being exchanged. That was my last understanding.
Well, as a matter of it being public information, it should have been provided when I asked for it. I asked multiple times very politely before I got an attorney to start looking into it because the city refused to give it to me.
Well, we will make sure you get that information. Assemblymember Decker.
When did you ask?
I've been asking for this information since May 13th.
Is it public information? Is any tax rolls public information?
Absolutely.
For anybody's?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so then I'm going to have to question why we would not have got it to her.
So I can't answer the time frame from May 13th, but I can tell you at this time, because an attorney has been retained, that now that information, because there is a potential legal proceeding, has to be done through our attorney.
Okay.
Okay.
And Alicia, do you have anything to add?
I guess just background on the tax roll portion of it. Back in August of last year, got a request to sign a quitclaim deed because there was a title company that could not find where the deed had been recorded when the city sold it to him, lot 8. In looking through everything, could not find anything where the city had sold it. Called Mr. Lund in, and it was at that point, and I think this is in the memo that you have in your packet as well, that he mentioned that he did not ever purchase lot 8. Had no reason to and didn't want to. So it was at that point that we started looking at the tax roll, looked at the tax database, had our assessors review that, and in doing so found that the square footage that the current value was being based on was only the square footage of 8A and 7A. So there was never a square footage assigned to lot 8, and so that square footage was not calculated into any kind of assessed value, and therefore was not ever calculated into any tax roll. So we were able to determine at that point that he had not ever paid taxes on that because there was no value associated with just that portion. The only value associated was with the 8A and the 7A.
Assembly Member Powell.
Okay, so the way I look at this, yeah, and I mean I'm looking at it as Mr. Joe Public here, this lot A or 8, which is this big square thing, looks like blocks. Okay, there are blocks all around this. There's got to be a way, I'd have to say, to prove or disprove whether that is true or not. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. So in the tax roll, looking at when I had the assessor look at the tax roll, they looked at here's the value that's placed on the combination of the three, and based on that value, and looked at the plat map and said, here's the square footage of 8, and here's the value per square foot. Here's the square footage of 7A and the value per square foot. Those two sections added up to what was the total at the time, which then she was able to back out and say they had never put a square footage on the portion that was 8, and since it had no square footage, it had no value. So then after that, we were able to break that out and combine 8A and 7A, and then 8 by itself, which they've now put a square footage and a value on.
So what I'm asking is when you see the value, it has a square footage of a lot.
Yes.
On it, okay? So the square footage of that lot that you're talking about, those two little, that lot and that little square, okay, or that little triangle.
The 8A and 7A?
Yes, okay. Little triangle. Okay, you're telling me that Lane Fitzgerald's lot on the right of this picture pretty much has the same size as that right there, and those things, that the one that is Ben's was smaller on the square footage.
Yes.
Okay, so there we go. That's the proof I'm looking for.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so his lot was valued higher because it was more square feet than the 8A and 7A.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking is that we can show Montoya's that lot of Fitzgerald's is the same block size on their square footage, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
To Ben Lund's square footage, which should be way off.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to know.
Any other questions?
Madam Mayor, the other thing I'd like to say is we confirmed with the attorney, even if taxes had been paid, that doesn't give somebody the right to ownership. It certainly gives somebody the right to suggest that a refund of taxes paid should be considered by the assembly, but it does not give somebody right to ownership. There's absolute case law for that.
And I just have one question. I believe it's the fourth whereas, if I can find it. All throughout this resolution, there's two names, Glazier and Montoy, but then in the fourth whereas, it's just refers to Montoy's. Is that still correct?
The reason why that's like that is because that's the motion that Planning and Zoning gave. That's why it's in italic.
Okay.
I put exactly what they made their motion and approved it as.
Okay. Fair enough.
I have
Assembly
one more.
Assembly Member Powell?
I have one more thing, okay? I am kind of displeased here because when someone comes to me as a borough assembly member and says, how do I get this or how do I get that, okay? I tell them, go down to the city, they will help you. I do not like when someone comes to our podium and says, I have asked and asked and asked for public record and have not received it. Okay? I do not want that to happen anymore. If that happened, that is ridiculous. We are transparent, and we need to stay that way. So for them to get an attorney because they feel they've been mistreated, I am very displeased with that. And I hope that we can look into that.
Fair enough.
Assemblymember Decker?
Although this isn't necessarily a satisfactory response, from May to Planning Zoning meeting of July 8th, which is when this went to them for approval, is not a ton of time. But, you know, we always do want to be responsive and at least letting people know that things are being worked on and what time frame should be. So,
which they absolutely were being worked on. And I will get back to you with an answer on the time frame, the delay response.
Okay. Alicia. Thank you.
I'll get back to the assembly on that.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor, Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Section 14, attorney's file. It's available for review in the borough clerk's office. No executive session. And we will adjourn at 8:43. Thank you.
Thank you.